Haskell, Brother and Sister, Nashville, Tennessee, January 1, 1902. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, I greet you this morning with a Happy New Year to yourselves and all who compose your family. I am thankful to my Heavenly Father that I am a little stronger. I shall put my trust in God, and if He will give me strength, I will praise His holy name. I have spoken only once since I have been here, and that was a few moments on Christmas. I am praying for you at the family altar. All of you are remembered in my prayers. I am not discouraged, but am trying to gather the rays of sunshine into my soul. I have felt sometimes that I could not wait even to attend this meeting before going home. But now for a few days the weather is improved and the sun shines. Monday and Tuesday I rode out. We have had much fog. The meeting commences Friday, and I leave myself wholly in the Lord's hands, to be worked by His Holy Spirit. I wish to be passive in the hands of the Lord. I still cough, at times very hard, and raise but little, but I have much to be thankful for. My appetite is beginning to come to me, and the malaria to be overcome. January 2nd. We have thick fog again this morning, though it was clear through the night. But all this will pass away. We must seek in this place, on this occasion, to bring about a condition of unity, for here is our great error. We do not see and feel the importance of answering that last prayer of Christ, which means so much to us and to those who believe the truth. We may make the truth of none effect by keeping fresh and distinct before us our little differences. The Lord wants us to make a record of a very different character in this respect than we have made in the past. The patient, individual effort to be good and to do good means that we are to make more determined efforts to secure oneness, as Christ prayed might be among His disciples. Shall we answer that prayer? We must leave others just as untrammeled to do their part in the vineyard as we want them to leave us to work out our part in the appointed work. Patient continuance in well-doing will make its mark. Sinners will be converted and bring rejoicing to hearts. Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which, suppose they, need no repentance. Luke 15, verse 7. Now do not get so much work laid out that you will not have time to rest. We are to fight the good fight of faith with a steady purpose. If we would not fail nor be discouraged, we must have periods of rest and quietude of mind. Encourage peace. Think healthful thoughts. We are to cultivate charity, fervent charity, among ourselves. Let us live daily the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. God help us to obtain every advantage possible, that we may bring all the sunlight into our lives, to bless others as well as ourselves. January 3rd. I was conversing with you on one occasion, and we had a very profitable review of things. I was repeating this verse. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, 7. This is our work. I was saying to you that there is danger of expecting too much of persons who have not had experience in mission work. Be careful, in such a place as New York City, to get quietness as much as possible. Do not require the mind to be kept on the strain constantly, but have some periods for rest. Your head must not be allowed to become overtaxed, and Sister Haskell must not feel it is her duty to pledge herself to so much work that she cannot be with her husband more than she is. You both must lighten your work, or you will have to stop work altogether. Is it not better to act your part than to take so much work as to imperil your future usefulness? Sister Haskell, we feel that you should have less care and responsibility. Now do not think this is said because we do not appreciate your labors, because we do. We want you to be more pleasantly situated, and we ask you to consider that we are anxious for your lives to be prolonged. Do not worry and feel perplexed over things you cannot help. One thing God requires, and that is that you preserve your health. I shall have some things more to say to you shortly. We shall be glad to hear from you, but do not look on the dark side. Sister Haskell, your good, cheery letter was very precious to us. I thank you. W.C. White was very anxious I should go to Graysville, but I dared not make any change because it seemed to me it would be at the peril of my life. I heard they said at Graysville that Sister White would come. It was made an important matter. When I heard you thought of coming, I said to Willie, I would not have him come. I fear he would be afflicted as I have been. Traveling at this time of year is not good for those not acclimated. January 6th, 6:30. I have had a very disagreeable experience with sickness at the stomach this morning. I aroused Sarah, and she got me a bowl of hot malted nuts, but I threw up the malted nuts. Then I drank considerable hot water, with no after effects. Now I will write a little more. Our meeting on Sabbath was good. The colored people were seated on one side of the chapel by themselves. I could talk only about 35 minutes. We then had several excellent testimonies from ministers and people, both white and colored. Last night, Brother Sheaf preached an excellent discourse in their own church, a good, nice church which has been secured for the colored people. Friday evening, I think it was, they had a social meeting. A white man came to the door and asked if he might come in. He said, "I never heard anything in any meeting like this." This, of course, caused a wave of gladness to come into the meeting. There was excellent, sensible talk. The blessing of the Lord has been in the colored meetings. I was much pleased with the good impressions made. The Lord has greatly blessed the colored people, as well as the congregation of whites. Many have been suffering with colds and have brought them to this meeting. I believe the Lord will strengthen me to bear my testimony during this meeting. I prayed much about this last night, and I believe I shall be able to speak. I have been having noise enough, but this I expected. Human agencies are to combine in the great work. I see a large field here, but not the most healthful atmosphere. Brother Palmer and Edson have a good company of workers and have been building for their convenience. Everyone is trying to do his best, and I am pleased with the workers. Some work for less wages than others, according to the work done. Elder Haskell and wife, we have no warnings to give you to stimulate zeal and earnestness. You could not look upon this field, or upon any field in its destitution, without putting your shoulder to the wheel. But the light given me from God is that you need to consider that if you would serve the work, you must not disqualify yourselves physically or morally by overdoing. Keep fresh, that you may educate others how to work, and do not get discouraged because you cannot carry the whole load. The Lord does not place upon you burdens so heavy that you cannot carry them without sacrificing your mental, moral, and spiritual capabilities. Prudence in speech and in devising is a good thing. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Proverbs 2, verse 6 to 9. We thank the Lord for all these blessed assurances. We pray most earnestly for you all at the family altar, and we are praying for ourselves. We cast our helpless souls upon Jesus Christ. We are not always to retain the same mold of character. By beholding, we become changed into his likeness. We must get out of self and become one with Christ. Every member of the church may do a good work in the service of the Lord, if he will make diligent efforts to work in Christ's lines. Truth has triumph in itself because it is truth, with no error in it. I have strong faith that the Lord will work at this meeting. Christ has, in his divine nature taking human nature, shown a sufficiency for all. Nothing that Christ might say or suffer could give an exaggerated conception of the infinite love of God to men. Well, Elder Haskell and wife, the Lord will help and strengthen and bless you. I cannot write much of the meeting when I am not allowed to attend it, but I hear good reports. No one sees me now but the family. I have had relapse after relapse, and with the exception of the first day, Friday, I have not seen any company. I shall feel relieved when Elder Frankie takes up his work again, for we have no time to lose. The world is to be warned, and many souls will be converted from the high ranks as well as the low. God will fit everyone for his work who is willing to be worked by the Holy Spirit. When God has poured the Holy Spirit upon all who ask him in faith, why do they not claim the promise? I was pleased to hear of the goldsmith and that the Lord's eye is upon him and opening his way.
Tell all that the hall in which you congregate, the walls, the floor, has not sinned. It is the human agencies that have been the sinners. The men who had souls to save or to lose have corrupted their ways before the Lord. yet Christ died for them. There are polluted souls in every church in New York City, some who are guilty of the worst crimes that Satan can put into the mind of men to commit. But what has the building done? It was not the sins of the hall that polluted the worshipers. It is the conforming in soul and body and spirit to wicked practices that corrupts the soul. When anyone demerits the hall because of the wicked agencies of men who performed evil in it, tell him, "Hold your peace. You know not what you are talking about. The pavements of our streets are defiled by unholy feet that walk in the way of unrighteousness. Shall we refuse to walk upon those pavements?" What do the churches in our day contain? Revelation 18, verse 1-5. "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Let all bear in mind that it is not the house, that building of stone, that is polluted, but the human agencies who have souls to save or to lose. They are the ones who have committed transgression and sins. All their great riches have come to naught. Great cities will be consumed by the fire of God's wrath. Verses 18 to 24. Let no one demerit the hall which God has mercifully placed in the hands of his people for a time. When that hall is unsuitable, there will be another provided. Shall the hall be abandoned? I say, no. Now is the time to search out the particular sins which have called down denunciations upon the church of Ephesus and quenched their first love. Whatever sin has made us worldly, forgetful of our responsibility to God, and opened the door of the heart to worldliness or pride or sensuality, turning the grace of God into licentiousness, whatever has eaten godliness out of the soul, enfeebled the moral courage, fostered selfishness, covetousness, and a variety of forms of cupidity and dishonest dealing, let all repent of who will. Christ's grace and strength will be imparted to give nourishment and vigor and health of body and soul. But not one act of lawlessness, not one act of evil, to rob a man of his right, will be overlooked by the Lord. All church members are on trial. All who dishonor the name of God will have no place in his kingdom. Let all, for their own soul's sake, obtain guiding light from the experience of the past. The great head who moves in the midst of the candlesticks will never be without a church. Faithful and true witnesses to his name and his glory will stand unflinchingly when the test comes. If some fail to testify to the word, their candle will be put out. It will be demonstrated who are the faithless ones, and those who are faithful will take the places of those who refuse to shine. Some will refuse to shine for Christ and his glory, but others will shine. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 3. We need to be calling the people more and more to the work of unity. The Lord would have us know how precious are the people of God in his eyes. There will be men who will arise, like Nelson, who are certainly deceived by the enemy. He knows not what he is doing. He thinks if he takes certain scriptures and strings them together, and then tells you the application is thus and thus, that is enough. Believe him not. Any man could do this work. It has been done over and over again. But in my experience, for the last 60 years, men have arisen with wonderful testimonies, applying scriptures to different things which they offered as a message from God, just as Nelson has done. And these men have led away disciples after them. But the Lord did not send them. The Lord has not given Nelson the message he claims to have for the people. For in this very message was a glaring falsehood, that I did not treat my workers well. The only one who ever claimed this told it to Nelson, and he came way on to California to give me that mess. That poor girl had taken so inconsistent a course that I could not retain her in my service. I have her confessions in regard to the wickedness of her course. And when I could not retain her, she framed falsehoods, and Nelson came way from Battle Creek to give me my message of abuse to my workers. Of this sin I have never been guilty, so his message was not from God, and I told him so and would have no more conversation with him.